The Pat Kenny Show. On
Yes, we're talking about ads and whether ads indeed are suggestive and sexy, and the ones that are being banned in Berlin clearly have the Berliners upset. The flake ads in the 70s were very suggestive, says Anne Lucan. I had to look them up on YouTube, Anne. Dirty mind. She's only eating chocolate. There's nothing wrong with it. And someone else makes the point. There's an advert out at the moment for Muller Greek yogurt where a bunch of ditzy oiled up lads wearing short shorts are warming up in a track and field arena while they're being lamped, no less, by a shower of women. Imagine the outrage if it was the other way round. Perhaps the pendulum has swung too far, says Richie in Cork. The old Muller yogurt's all right, or a bit suggested. There's one of a fella, he's posing to have a stone statue made of him, and then all of a sudden all hell breaks loose when a woman eats a yogurt. If it was the other way round, there would be complaints, I would argue. But there's one example that's going out there. A man nodding his agreement in studio with me about the gender inequality in sexy
ads. Don't bring me into this, yeah.
Richard Chambers, good morning.
Morning to you, Jonathan.
We need to talk about mass, so this is very much a change of track. Parishioners at St. Mary's Church in Castle Blaney didn't have an average Sunday mass yesterday. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, that's because the service was actually it was celebrated across the road in the Protestant church. It was the first Sunday mass to be celebrated at St. Meldoid's Church of Ireland after the local rector there invited the Catholic Church to move in while their own chapel, St. Mary's, is undergoing some urgent repairs. It's going to be closed for the next year, the Catholic Church, which is quite a big one. It's fallen into a sort of a state of a little bit of disrepair. There's an urgent need of repair to a roof and some walls. So it'll be June 2018 before you can have Mass in it again. So the solution then, put forward by Reverend Neil Fair of St. Meldoid's Church of Ireland, was, here, look, we're only 50 metres across the road. Why don't you move in? The invitation was warmly welcomed and endorsed by both the Church of Ireland and the Catholic Diocese, and they're away. So now, this isn't the first time, of course, in Ireland that you would have had Roman Catholic services in Church of Ireland or vice versa. It's happened before in places like Kildare and Killah. But this is Castle Blaney, County Monaghan, Jonathan. So it's 4 miles from the border and it has a history. Of course, the 1976 Dublin Monaghan bombings, a local farmer was killed outside the three-star inn in Blaney. And this is a part of the world where, going back a number of years, you know, some people didn't go to their neighbours' funerals because of whether they were Protestant or Catholic. But this is a place, though, that locals say has a great sense of community and it's very mindful of its responsibility. So the man behind the idea is Reverend Neil Fair. He says it's important that there's a good news story in the border in the face of the uncertainty of Brexit.
Father Pat McHugh was telling me that he was going to do a huge renovation project to the Church of St. Mary's, and I said to him, you'll probably need somewhere to worship for the year. And I said, well, look, you'd be very welcome to use our church here at St. Meldoid's.
How's it all gone so far?
Gone brilliantly, actually. Father Pat was telling me that the mass attendances are maybe doubled or trebled. So I don't know if it's interest in this initiative, or but anyway, it's engendered a great response from the whole Castle Blaney community, and everybody thinks it's a fabulous idea, and everybody's got behind it. And of course, there's a lot of interest around the country as well, and even in different places. Yeah, I see it in Europe there, and different articles in France and Germany and that. So it seems to be, have gone a lot further than Castle Blaney.
Yeah, are we surprised by that in a way, the level of interest?
Yeah, I suppose it is, because, you know, this has happened before. You know, Church of Ireland churches have offered their worship space to other churches, and so I suppose maybe it's because we're on the border and Brexit is looming and all those other issues, and I suppose, you know, the Botherers have had their challenges over the years during the Troubles and that, and maybe that's why it's a little more interesting, you know. Yes, it's probably easier now, I suppose. It's probably easier, but everybody's on different committees. The whole community gets involved in all the committees, like the Castle Blaney Show and a whole lot of host of other things, like the community, Castle Blaney Community Enterprise. And so everybody from all the churches gets involved in things. And now that it has, you know, we're all welcome to do our bit and to help out St. Mary's at this time. So great, everybody's really delighted with it, and there's a great atmosphere around the town, and everybody's looking forward to worshipping together here for over the year. And hopefully they'll feel at home through time as well.
If the Catholic Church had known it was that easy to get attendance numbers up, they'd have moved across the road years ago. How does it work in practicality, though, if you've got different services of the different religions on the same day, for example? Mm.
Luckily enough, there's no real overlap. I mean, Catholic Masses will be on during the week. I think the first one was on Tuesday, and you'll have the Church of Ireland service on Sundays at 10 o'clock And then you'll have Mass at 10:45 for the Catholics. It used to be at 11:30, but they've put it back to allow the Church of Ireland congregation to get their things sorted and to have a cup of tea afterwards. And during that time, I actually, just yesterday, I asked the congregation at St. Meldoid's about the new arrangement.
And not from the altar now, just to clarify.
No, over a cup of tea and some nice shortbread and stuff like that. It was a nice nice small communal atmosphere after the service. So they were all very mindful of the town's history and sending out a message of unity.
People are talking everywhere, because I live out in the country, out in Dehamlet, and even out there they're all talking about the great community spirit and everything and what we're doing within the community. So it is, even friends of mine that go to the church next day, I think it's great. Yeah.
Would you see it happening 20, 15 years ago even?
I don't think so. I think people have come on
different
a lot.
Attitudes.
Different opinions, different attitudes. I do think it's progressing. People are more welcoming, more the beliefs maybe are changing, that sort of thing, yeah. Definitely so.
Share life, like, you know, well, Castlevania was always like that, wasn't it? Christmas carol service and harvest Thanksgiving and all these in here, like, and in the chapel as well, we used to open. It was always a good community, a good relationship between both churches. New York Times, no, I think they had it too.
It's travelling worldwide, so it is. Yeah.
Putting Blaney on the map, anyway.
Yeah. And the two churches, if you see one another, like, they can park there, well, they're usually park on the street there, and they can walk up to the church, like, it's not far. It's convenient for them, so it is.
Very unusual, unique thing to happen in Castlevania, because it's a border town, and it can only be good for everybody. And that's what it's all about, being neighbourly and part of the Christian faith, I suppose.
And there's that much doom and gloom in the news at the minute. You need something upbeat, something to get people talking. Nice talk, you know, happy talk, not all doom and gloom,
Definitely so, yeah.
Oh, yeah, look, it is good they have something in common that they can talk about. So how did it go? Did the Mass pass off? Did anybody burst into flames?
No, without a hitch, Jonathan. Father Leo Creelman was the celebrant yesterday. He took a few minutes at the start of Mass to sort of get accustomed to his new surroundings. So he extended his thanks then to the community, the Church of Ireland community, for their hospitality. I mean, Mass goers there will have noticed a few differences, of course. You've obviously got no holy water, no images of the Virgin Mary, for example. You've no kneelers either, Jonathan. So, you know, you'd be sore knees if you're down.
Oh, so you're just kneeling on the floor?
It would be, but I don't think anybody did kneel at the points. But anyway, they did know it's actually what they did have.
Did you know where to kneel? Just at the appropriate point?
I was basically
impartial observer.
Standing at the back, as many an old man has done at Irish Mass services over the years. But Father Creelman, he gave a sermon from up the steps in the pulpit. You know, making the point, oh, lucky I'm not afraid of heights, and you all look great from up here. There's no place to hide from me up here. But he says he could never have imagined saying Mass in a Church of Ireland, but it's a welcome moment for the town, and the faithful seem to enjoy the novelty too.
I suppose if you even told me that 15 or 20 months ago, I would probably have said no, but it's great being. I'm just here in Castlevania, I suppose, just coming up nearly 2 years now, and I can see a great sense of community. And to know that these two communities, in fact, have worked well together over the years. And this really, when you see that, it's no surprise that the invitation was put out. I can describe it, I suppose, you're in a, it's like being in somebody else's house and working out of a suitcase. You know, you still admire their home. You know, it's not your home, but it's a lovely space and it actually fits in very well because, I mean, theologically there's very little difference between our church and their church. They still have the communion services, and I think our parishioners are happy because they have nice soft cushions across the way, which we don't have in St Mary's. And at the end of the day, there was times we used to have to say Masses and Mass rocks. There was times, you know, the main focus obviously there of our Mass is what happens on the altar. And we've got, I suppose, a lot of our own parishioners perhaps have never been in the church before, which says a lot, but still their eyes open when they go in and they see, you know, there's beauty in the church. And at the end of the day, there is very, very little between us, and that we can, I suppose, concentrate on those things that join us together, that say the small things that keep us apart or that we maybe differ, that we can perhaps look at them things and, you know, and still, but yet the common things will keep us together.
Oh,
Lovely.
Wonderful, lovely, beautiful, and they're very, very kind people to allow us to come and very welcoming. Loved it. Very good.
Oh, I thought it was lovely. We need to see more of it, especially in the North of Ireland, more integration of societies. I mean, in other countries, I live part-time in Spain, you will have all religions served, you know, going to the same church every Sunday, you know, at different times. It's the same God, isn't it? Well, I remember there was a Father Peter Livingstone, and I got married in 66 and I came here the first Mass. That priest said, I'd love, he said, if you would come in here one Sunday, and the following Sunday you would go back to the Church of Ireland and vice versa, because he spent his time down in Enniskillen. So it has come to pass. It has taken 50 years.
50 years overnight. Richard, how long is this going on for? How long will they have to share it?
Yeah, the facility? Way until June of 2018. And it's sort of thought that, you know, this could be something which could become more prevalent in different other parts around the country where, you know, you have smaller Church of Ireland where they don't have as many services on or they don't have as many people. So, you know, could be a sign of things to go.
I wonder, would it go the other way, though? Would the Catholic Church allow the Protestant service to be held there? That's a key question. If anybody out there has had that experience where the Catholic Church was used for a Protestant service, 53106 seems to go the other way, all right, because Paddy on text says St. Nicholas Protestant Church in Galway kindly gave the shared use of their church to the local Augustinian congregation when the Augustinian church was being renovated about 15 years ago. The irony was that St. Nicholas Church was taken off the Catholics by Cromwell in the 1600s. Ecumenical cooperation like this can only be positive. So a small bit of the Reformation being worked back in Castlevania at the weekend. Richard Chambers, thank you very much for that report.